It's such an honor to be here and to share with this church. You guys have been my family, quite literally. I got the ring to prove it for 5 or 6 years now, and I feel like I've grown up in this church, even though I've only been here for that long. But it's an honor to pour into this body that has changed my life. So I appreciate you. And I know there are many of you who support me financially, and you're just pouring into this thing. And I hope that you see that God is just taking that and doing something spiritual with it. And you're impacting the kingdom of God. And a portion of, this church from your tithes is supporting this ministry and allowing things to happen. Like we can get Corey there who needed a little extra help with money, and we have a van and just all this stuff. Financially speaking, you guys are making a difference in the world. Quite literally, we've sent students to 5 or 6 different countries that I can count anyways, and they're impacting the world for Christ through this ministry. I wanted to share a little bit more about what's happened over the last 2 years, and I was reflecting on this last night as I was getting ready to share with you guys and just what God has done through my little pitiful efforts. And we've seen at least 18 salvations over the last 2 years, and these are people who have just come and heard a message and have just jumped in, and wanted change in their life and wanted Jesus so badly. 18 people you guys have affected, and at least 21 rededications of people who have been believers before in their lives, and they come to college and maybe they slip up and don't believe in God, but they find their way to us and we go fishing for them. And this is 21 people that are saying, I'm going to take a stand and I'm going to reclaim my ground in Jesus Christ. That's awesome. We've seen at least 8 Holy Spirit baptisms, and there's power that comes with that, and we've seen it. We're witnessing the power up on campus as a result of that. I've had the honor to baptize 4 students, water baptism, and it's just been an awesome 2 years. One of the things I really appreciate is I started working for Campus Ambassadors, the other college ministry on campus. And when I got the vision for BASIC, I immediately approached Ken Zilkowski, who's a pastor, and Chris Deemer, who works with Campus Ambassadors full-time, and just asked for their input. I wanted to just, feel out how they felt about the possibility of me going and doing this. And it's just so cool. There's such a unity. And it's easy when you're doing ministry and you're so passionate about something, it's easy to just go for it and not even look back. And that's good in some respects, but there's just an awesome element of unity between CA and BASIC. And Ken and Chris are just they just have tons of joy, and they released me and said, go do it, and don't look back. You have our blessing. So I just really appreciate their blessing with us on campus, and we're working together to change the world here. There's an element of our success up on campus that I wanted to share with you guys. I think it can apply to everybody in this room. And we can all think of areas in our lives where we want victory. We want victory. Like, we want victory with our finances, or we want victory with a project that we have to do, or we want victory in a relationship that we have. It's just a desire. I don't think anybody wakes up in the morning and just says, I totally want to fail today, so I'm just going to go back to sleep, right? There's an element of that we put in with BASIC that results in victory, and I want to share that with you guys today. You guys pumped? I'm pumped. This is awesome. We're going to see some victory today. When I was 15 or 16 years old, I was really anxious to have my bedroom painted. We moved into a brand new house when I was 12 years old, and all of my other siblings, I only have two, but all of them had their room painted. And my brother got this, he's decked out, it's like Yankees bedroom. There's like pinstripes and there's a Yankees banner all across the bedroom, and it's blue and it looks so cool. And then you walk into my sister's room, it's like pink, you know, and there's like Care Bears everywhere, and it's just awesome. And you walk into my room and it's like white. Bleh. All right, so my mom, I say, Mom, we got to do something about this. And so she gets pumped, like, we're gonna do this thing. We're gonna paint your room. What's your favorite color? Orange. I want an orange bedroom, and it was awesome. All right, so we go to Home Depot, and we get, you know, we pick out the exact color orange paint. I don't know, I don't see that color. Pastor Don's pretty close there. Yeah, Caleb up at the top. Go see Caleb. He's got my orange on. we get the orange paint, and so we're pumped up. We're ready to go, and there's a stuff called primer that you need to paint, if you guys have painted before. So we get the primer, and we bring it home. We're so pumped up. My room is going to be orange. I'm so excited. And we start with the primer. We prime the whole room, you know, with the painter's tape and everything, the whole nine yards. We've got our paintbrushes. We're fired up, and we get the whole room primed up. And so then we whip out the orange paint, and we're painting, and we're painting, and we're painting. And as you're painting, you can kind of look back and see that, you know, it's dried a little bit, and it's probably going to look like that color a little bit, you know, as you keep going, as you let it go. And we're painting the orange, and it's like, it doesn't look so hot. Let's just keep going. We'll keep going and see. We'll see what happens. So we get the whole bedroom painted, and we're just kind of looking back like, whew, yikes. All right, what's happening is that it's just really streaky. There's like, it's like the paint isn't catching on the wall, or something weird is happening, and we're out of paint. So our logic is like, if we can just, we're just going to go back to Home Depot. We're going to buy more paint. We're going to paint over that, and it's going to be awesome. Maybe we're just going to do it, because if you put paint on the paint, then you get, you know, a good color. So we go back, we get more paint, we bring it back, we paint the whole room again, and it's like, no. There's just, look, still looks really streaky and really just bad, all right? And what had happened was my dad had no idea that we were doing this. And he was kind of mad, you know? He came home, and his reaction was like, okay. And he asked us all sorts of questions. Turns out the primer that we primed the room with was like dark gray, okay? And that was like surfacing through the paint. And so there's streaks of like dark gray through the orange paint. And so what happened was, we went back to Home Depot the third time, and it's like really late at night now, and my dad got home from work, and he's retired, but he's like, all right, we got to do this right. So we get the right primer, and we put our paint on it. I kind of look back at that, and I'm realizing, as I want to share with you guys today, there's an element of this that affects us today, is that my mother and I hadn't got released to do that work from my father, right? And you need the right primer for the paint. You need the right primer for your victory, right? So you gotta base the stuff on the scriptures and on the teachings of Jesus Christ in order to see your victory, okay? And so what I want to talk with you guys about today is an element of how our generations can work together to see the authority that brings the victory, okay? The title of my message is The Rod, the Sword, and the Victory. The Rod, the Sword, the Victory. It could seem kind of weird, like, I'm not going to beat you over the head with a rod and then cut you with a sword to see the victory. But There's elements in this story of in Exodus chapter 17 that we're going to look at, but I just want to pray real quick. Father, we just thank you for what you're doing here today and just how good you are to us and the gifts that you've given us that we're able to use for your kingdom to change the world, to impact nations, God. I just thank you for the message that you've laid on my heart, and just I pray that I'm open to receive from you even now as I'm presenting, Lord, and that we're all open to hear your voice today, God. We love you. Allow the scriptures to come alive to us today. And we pray by the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's look at this story. Exodus chapter 17, starting with verse 8. You got that? Cool. Then came Amalek, and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us out some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So there's some background to the story, but first I just need a volunteer. All right, I got you. Corey, let's do it. Man, I'll come back for you, Rakesh. All right. So I got a rod here, and what Moses had to do was, in order to see victory for the people, he had to hold it up like this. All right, so that's your job. You're going to hold that up until the sun goes down. Okay, all right. That's good. So Here's the background story. Israel had just come out of Egypt, and they part through the Red Sea, and you know, the whole 10 plagues, they part through the Red Sea, and Egypt is defeated. They thwart the warriors, and you know, they take all their stuff, and they're gone. That's good power. It's just being released. Ah. So they come out of Egypt, and they're traveling in the wilderness through the desert, and Amalek, these Amalekites, it talks about in later in the Bible that this was kind of a dirty move, because Amalek came kind of behind Israel and was like, "We want this stuff. We want the riches and all the stuff that Israel has." Turns out Amalek is like a grandson of Esau. And you have the Israelites, which are descendants of Jacob. So you got Jacob and Esau back at it again. And I just thought that was a little cool nugget here. So Amalek comes, and they're fighting, and you have this story of Moses and Joshua and the people of Israel preparing for war and defeating the Amalekites in this. Okay, so this is also the first appearance of Joshua, and we know the story of Joshua. He led the people of Israel into the promised land. He's a mighty warrior and conquered, you know, a lot of territory for Israel. And so let's talk about the rod. All right. So where have we seen this rod before? It was Moses' shepherd's staff, right? And so God had given a charge to Moses and said, "I want you to do this thing. I want you to go free Israel." And Moses is like, "You got the wrong guy." And God says, "What do you have in your hand?" And it's Moses' shepherd's staff. This thing signifies power and authority. Okay? Where this thing goes, there is power and the authority of God that God had given to Moses to exercise. And so we see this thing you know, he throws it, Moses throws it down in the court of Pharaoh's sorcerers, and it swallows them up. This is the same rod that is slammed down in the ground and the Red Sea parts. Yeah, just like that. And you're great. Your arm's getting tired yet? Yeah. 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 The Red Sea parts, and then here in battle we see the rod again. So it signifies authority and power. And I want to suggest that the rod the rod is our older generation of Christians, our older generation of believers. And there are you here today who've been walking with the Lord for longer than I've been alive, and you have witnessed and experienced the power and authority of God in your life that enables you for leadership to look over the younger generation. You know, sometimes we look at it like this, that it's the same as it's an age group. So there's an older generation and there's a younger generation, but we're talking spiritually. It's common for older people to carry more of the authority and more of the power of God because they've just been experiencing it longer. But, you know, in some cases, younger people have been walking with the Lord longer than older people, right? So in this case, Moses is an older dude and Joshua is a younger guy, and Moses is carrying the rod, which signifies the power and authority. So it says, verse 9, tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. This is Moses saying Joshua. So it might have been kind of silly because Moses is like, Joshua, you can be Joshua. Joshua, there's this thing happening. Like people are coming and they want all their stuff. So you stay here and like, I'm going to take my rod and I'm going to go way up there where like nobody can get me. And I'm just going to like wave my rod around. And okay, but you got this, right? I'll just be over here, okay? Waving my rod, right? So it could seem kind of silly, but Moses was sure. He was confident. He's like, this rod is like, has saved my life on numerous occasions. I have no doubt that this is going to do something. You know, he received from God this word that I want you to go on top of the hill, raise the rod, and no questions. It's going to be awesome. How's your arms doing? Yeah, all right. You're going to be ripped after this. So I want to suggest that the rod is carried by spiritual mothers and fathers, right? So the older generation of Christians. God has implanted hearts of mothers and fathers into our hearts, and power and authority comes when you exercise that, right? So how do we practice spiritual authority? You know, what if I have it and I don't really know what to do with it? This story suggests that spiritual authority is practiced and exercised through prayer. Right, spiritual authority is exercised through prayer, and in my research in this story, it suggested that holding your hands up is the posture of prayer in ancient Israel. And so, when Moses said, "I'm going to go up to the top of the hill and I'm going to hold my hands up with the rod of God," what he was saying to Joshua was, "I'm going to go up to the highest place that I can find, get me a little closer to Jesus, and hold up my rod of authority while I'm praying for you. And you're going to see a miracle in this battle," right? So spiritual authority is exercised through prayer. Prayer does stuff. It does stuff. Like, I'm sure Sia was praying for her three friends that came to Christ this weekend. Another cool story from the conference was that for me personally, it was a time of worship, and the worship leader was just saying, just ask God what you want. Like, we're in worship, and sometimes we just need to ask God for what we want. And in my life lately, I've been going through a really cool couple of books and just saying, God, I want to lay hands on people and have them experience a physical healing by your authority. And so I asked God for that. Like, I want to pray for somebody and have them experience physical healing. And almost immediately, my hands started tingling. And I'm like, oh, no. What have I done? No. So, you know, with great power comes great responsibility, this kind of thing. So I'm going through the whole weekend like, do you have back pain? I got this. You know, and I'm like seeking out this thing. Well, Saturday night after the thing, there's a group of students that are praying for one of our other students. They sit her down in a chair and they're praying and praying. And I ask Kimmy, you know, what's the deal over there? And she says, oh, you know, this person is experiencing some back pain. So I'll go over and I pray. And, you know, Pastor Don, you know, a couple days earlier had given me a scripture to lean on for prayer, for physical healing. And so I'm praying that scripture. And so we stop praying and we say, you know, just stand up, tell us how it feels, you know, how's it going? And she's like, there's no pain. There's no pain. It's gone. It's gone. Okay. And so that's just awesome. And you might be thinking like I was, you know, I don't really know if it's like healed or cured or something, but at least now in this moment, like the pain has ceased. And so victory. Awesome. So after we get back home from the conference, I catch up with this person and just ask her, how are you doing? How are you feeling? How are you feeling? Perfect. She says, I've had scoliosis for years, and I'm in, like, pretty constant pain with it. And I haven't had any pain since you guys prayed for me on Saturday night. And that just, like, blew me away. Prayer does stuff. Prayer does stuff, and we exercise our God-given authority through prayer to people that we love. All right. Yes. Back to that thing. All right. Here's some relief. Verse 12 says Moses' hands became heavy, and so they took a stone and put it under him. Oh. So we're gonna take a stone. Let's take a stone. And it says they put it under him, and we had Aaron and Hur come. So I need two more peeps. Rakesh and Julia. Let's get them. All right, so they took a stone and they had Moses sit down. And your hands, there's no rest. All right. All right, so they sit him down on the stone. And they are holding up and strengthening. Yeah, it's great. Could you imagine doing this until the sun goes down?
Definitely not.
Definitely not. All right. So Moses is up on the top of the hill, and he's carrying the power and authority of God, and he's got peeps with him that are helping him out. And this is kind of significant because when we pray with other people that have authority, like, prayer really does stuff, okay? And so this is what was happening. Is as long as Moses' hands were up with the rod, Israel was winning. And when his hands grew tired and it fell, Israel was not doing so hot. And so that's a significant image right there. Let's just burn that in our minds. Take pictures, is that what you said? We got a picture going? Oh, we got to Instagram it. Here it comes. We're in church. Yeah. All right, you guys are dismissed. Thank you, Moses and Aaron and Hur. Awesome. You can. Our authority is exercised through prayer. Let's talk about the sword, all right? We're going to quickly go through this. The significance of the sword is courage and skill and zeal. And so this is characterized by our younger generation, people who are really fired up about God. When I first got saved, I was like, I'm taking over the world. I don't care. Like, I'm going. I don't care who says what. I just had this encouragement and this power, like the Holy Spirit had me, and I was gone with it. And so courage, zeal, and skill represents the sword. What's significant in this story is that the sword honors the rod. Okay? And it says this. So Joshua did as Moses said to him. It wasn't Joshua was crying and he threw a fit and he was throwing up everywhere because he was so upset. It just said Joshua did as Moses said, you know. And so the sword honored and respected and submitted to the rod. Joshua was a trendsetter. It comes later in scripture with the Ten Commandments. It says, honor your mother and father if you want to live for a long time. So that's a charge to us, the sword generation. All this in saying, we are, us, the sword generation is to honor the rod generation and to submit and honor that. And so when we are charged with something, let's do it. Side note, don't fall into a cult, please. You know, a good check for this is if your authority is under authority, I think you're in okay place, right? If you're following somebody that is saying, I am the way and the truth and the life, even Jesus Christ was under authority. You know, that's a good check. If you're wondering, but don't say, you know, Ryan told me to just submit to everything that anybody older than me told me to do. And so here I am, you know. Let's not see that, please. So the sword honors the rod. Here comes the victory. You guys ready? The victory comes when the sword and the rod are aligned with a common vision and a common goal. Okay? So let's check this out. The victory comes in verse 13. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. John Wesley, in his commentary of this, said, the hand of Moses contributed more to their safety than their own hands. The hand of Moses contributed more to their safety than their own hands. I'm sure Joshua was fighting just as hard when he was losing as when he was winning. And what made the difference was when Moses carried the authority and the power and was exercising that in prayer. Victory comes when the generations are aligned. Banning Leibscher, in this book that I read, he says, Joshua's obedience positioned him under the covering of Moses and declared that he understood the significance of covering. Moses, for his part, accepted the importance of empowering the generation coming after him and trusted Joshua as he released him to battle. Here's the key. Moses initiated, Joshua responded. All right, Moses initiated, Joshua responded. Malachi 4:6 says, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. All right, so this is the way that the kingdom of heaven works, and we see it here, is the rod carries the authority and initiates the conversation, and the sword responds and honors. I want to finish with this story. During World War II, a Marine was serving in the South Pacific. His platoon was under fire, and they were trying to signal their comrades that they had taken a certain hill. Their sergeant issued an order for a man to take the American flag and raise it up on a pole to let other units know they had taken this ground. And as he grabbed the flag and ran off to raise it up, he was shot by a sniper. Another man was sent to retrieve the flag and raise it up. He too was shot. Finally, a young private spoke up and said, Sergeant, in just a few minutes, it'll be 4:00. If you'll let me wait until then, I'll take the flag, I'll raise it up on the pole. The sergeant thought for a moment and said, all right, son. At 4:00, that private jumped out of his foxhole, ran, picked up the flag, then he ran to the pole and raised it up. He ran back to the foxhole and jumped in without so much as a scratch. The men cheered. The sergeant asked him why he wanted to wait until 4:00 to do what he did. And here's what the private replied with. Sir, it's 4:00 here, but it's 6:00 a.m. back home in Kansas. My mother loves Jesus, and she told me that every morning at 6:00, she would be on her knees praying for my safety. I knew that I would be safe while Mama touched heaven for me. Guys, this is how this works. We want to see victory. If there's an area in your life, the Joshua generation, the sword generation, submit to people who have already been through this. They know what's going on, right? Rod generation, help us out. You know, give us some covering. We don't want to get wet. We need your umbrella. And we'll see victory when we align. So I certainly don't want to do ministry with BASIC without the covering that I'm covered by. This church, the board of elders, Pastor Rodney, they've seen all this and done all this before. They know what they're talking about. And I want to go out with their release of authority to see victory. You guys have seen it right before your eyes. We have the Spirit of God moving in worship with these students. We have salvations happening. There's victory in this, all right? I want to charge us with this. There were 13,000 people in Oneonta, including college students. What would happen if this church understood this teaching and were impacted by God and were charged with aligning our generations together? How could we impact this community of 13,000 people in a way that this community has never experienced before with the love of God? Think about that. This church could quadruple in size, you know, if that, you know, more than that is what I mean. You know, it could change the world. We could change the world here in Oneonta. So my charge to the sword generation, seek out and submit to the rod generation. My charge to the rod generation, seek out and release the sword generation for ministry. Let's pray. Jesus, you are just awesome. I just pray right now that you have impacted some people in this room with your truth and with your word. We make a commitment today, Lord, before you. And if we are the sword generation, we commit to you that when we are approached with a charge, that we will follow command, God. That we will be Joshua, and without even a cinch, we will follow Moses into battle because we know that he's covering us. Father, if we're of the rod generation who carries the power and the authority, we commit to you that we're going to seek out the sword generation and empower them and train them in ministry. And God, this church will see victory. If there's an area in your life this morning that you want to see victory in, just identify with the sword, identify with the rod, and commit to seeing that victory through what we talked about this morning. If you're struggling with relationship issues, seek somebody else out who's gone through it. Father, you are good and holy and awesome. We pray in your name. Amen.